What's up, guys? It's David. Before we go any further, I've got to take a couple moments here to tell you about our new partner at Ethos Grizzlies, Ember and Valor. Ember and Valor specializes in beard care products. Let them take your beard to the next level with their easy two-step process. You get started with the beard oil to condition your skin and prevent the dreaded beard itch. You finish it off with Ember and Valor's beard balm to condition and shape your beard. Go over to emberandvalor.com right now and use promo code ETHOSGRIZZ for 25% off. Let them get you the beard you've always wanted. emberandvalor.com, EmberAndValor.com, promo code ETHOSGRIZZLIES for 25% off. I've got to run it by you one more time. I can't allow you to miss it. 25% off at emberandvalor.com right now using our promo code ETHOSGRIZZ. That's ETHOSGRIZZ at emberandvalor.com for 25% off of all of their products. Ember and Valor makes all of their products using all natural ingredients. Get over there, check them out, use the promo code, let them know we sent you. You will not be disappointed. EmberandValor.com. Look good, feel good. What's up, Grizz Nation? Welcome to the show. You got the whole crew with you tonight. I sound a little excited. Maybe I shouldn't be. The Grizzlies lose game one of the series, 130-117. A lot of ups and downs in this game. The Minnesota Timberwolves come out first quarter, kind of punched the Grizzlies in the mouth. And it was like the whole room was on fire. Grizz Nation was going crazy. I'm seriously disappointed in the fans. I've never seen somebody roll over on a team so damn fast. It's annoying. It's just ridiculous. It's game one. Minnesota outplayed Memphis. There's no two ways about it. Coach Jenkins got outcoached today by Finch. Yep. There's no two ways about that. The refs sucked. But let's be honest about it. The refs sucked both ways. They were not calling it. The inconsistencies were brutal. There'd be a clear foul on one end of the floor. You go down the other end of the floor, you get a whistle on a touch foul. Just a lot of stuff went wrong in this game. The Grizzlies could have done a lot of things better. We're going to get into that. But we'll, Candace, I'll let you start off. What was your biggest takeaway from tonight's game?
I think my biggest takeaway was we just need other important players that have been critical throughout the season to step up. I could say it's the refs. They played a big part. But that at the end of the day, a lot of good opportunities, good shots didn't go in. I wasn't a fan of the rotations that we ran. I wasn't a fan of the minutes. But either way, I think we needed more from DeAnthony Melton. I think we definitely needed more from Steven Adams. My goodness. That was concerning. I'm not sure if he'll be able to play in this series going forward. We'll see. But anyway,
he's going to be on the floor. Like Jenkins made that clear in the post game presser. I've got faith in our depth. Oh, yeah. somebody walk up to this man and slap the Budenholzer out of him.
Yeah, I was about to say,
I'm just going
to
warn you.
Budenholzer.
He's a big ass dude. He might whoop you if you try to do it. But somebody needs to shake it out of him, man.
Yeah, it was pretty bad with these rotations. I was not a fan, just at all. But anyway, we were just outmatched today. I think in every way, everything that the Grizzlies normally do well, we did not do well. It could be because we haven't played in so long, too long probably. It could also just be, you know, the refs hosed us to some degree. Shots didn't go down. Our bench players did not step up the way they needed to be. Now, I was very impressed with Brandon Clark. Brandon Clark was probably one of the real players who I saw. You know, when I look at the Jazz series last year and I look at this series and see the differences, I think Brandon Clark is the one probably guy who stepped up most. And Tyus did pretty well himself within his role. But I think we really need more from the guys who we'll be counting on, particularly Jaren Jackson Jr. We'll need more from him. So those are some of my big takeaways. Jaren Jackson Jr. will probably be a bigger factor. We talked about Dylan Brooks being a factor before, and he was that to some extent. But if Jaren Jackson Jr. is not going to be a factor at all, that changes the game. He probably is, I think, one of the most important factors in order for us to win this series. I think that's the number one conclusion I came away with. What about you, Isaac?
Yeah, man, no two ways about it. I think the Grizzlies definitely got punched in the mouth today. Minnesota looked like a team that was playing playoff basketball. Grizzlies are like a team that was still stuck in a record season. I mean, that's kind of what it looked like. They just didn't match the energy. You could just tell from the onset, Minnesota was about business today. And they came out hitting shots early. And a lot of the same points. I mean, Jaren Jackson Jr. is pertinent for this team. I mean, when he's on the floor, their defense just goes to an entire different level. When he's off the floor, man, it's just hard. And I think they're going to need more offense from him. I mean, he did fantastic job on defensive end, 7 blocks in the game today. But, I mean, they're going to need – he ended up with 12 points, but they're going to need more from him offensively. Over 5 from 3. They're just going to need more points from him, and he's going to be big in this series. And you talk about Steven Adams, just a rough day for him. And I don't know going forward, as David said, Taylor Jenkins said in the postgame, that they're going to stick with their guys, and he's going to play. And they definitely need his rebounding. But defensively, I just don't know if he can play against Karl Anthony Towns. I think Jaren Jackson Jr. is kind of their only answer. And then Brandon Clark off the bench, he did a fantastic job today, man. Give him a shout out, because I think him, Tyus, and Zaire were kind of – and I guess you throw Ja in there. I mean, Ja had a good game. I had a lot of points from the free throw line. But those are kind of the only guys that really played well today. Dylan had his points. I mean, he was like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde with him. And he had some big shots, and there were also times where, especially driving to the basket, you kind of scratch your head like, what was that, Dylan? I think he's going to give you what he's going to give you. You know what he's going to give you defensively. I do kind of question, what do you guys think about them having Dylan on D'Angelo Russell instead of Edwards. Edwards, yeah, just lose my mind. What's wrong with me? Instead of Anthony Edwards, Coach Jenkins said before that they like to have Dylan on the ball, and D'Angelo Russell handles the ball more than Anthony Edwards. So, what do you guys kind of think about that?
I think point of attack is extremely important with how well this team shoots the three. They were 16 of 41, 39% from three. The T-Wolves were. Point of attack is extremely important. Dylan is your best point of attack defender. And so, I mean, he neutralized you. D'Angelo Russell was 2 for 11 from the field. He had 10 points. Half of those came from the free throw line. 10 points, 9 assists, 2 for 11. Dylan Brooks done exactly what you wanted him to do on D'Angelo Russell. The problem is Anthony Edwards played insane. You know, he played a fantastic game. You know, kudos to him. He done what he was supposed to do. He was taking what the defense was giving him. I hate so much when they would drop off of him and let him walk into a three. Yeah. He was just drilling them.
All game, man.
It shows he's 4 for 11 from three. I would bet you money that 3 out of 4 of those threes that he made, they backed off of him, and he got to dribble into it and step up into the three. I would bet everything I own on that. Might end up losing it, but that's just the way it felt. I don't have any issues with that, but you have to do – I think the thing that killed the Grizzlies the most was Karl Anthony Towns. You look at the scoreboard, you're like, Anthony Edwards put up 36. Why are you saying that? Steven Adams guarding Karl Anthony Towns was a catastrophe.
Yeah,
the Timberwolves were clearing out the paint. When they got Cat the ball at the top of the key and Adams was on him, they were clearing out the paint, so there was nobody down there to help. And then when somebody would help, they would have their best shooters in the corners, and the guys would overhelp, and then you got a wide-open three in the corner.
Beasley, Prince.
Yeah. And so what has to happen, Taylor Jenkins has got to make adjustments. When they clear out like that, he's got to hedge that. He's got to double team him.
Yeah.
He's got to do something to get the ball out of his hands or switch the damn defense to drop. Just play drop. Karl Anthony Towns is a 40% three-point shooter. I don't give a damn. Let him shoot threes all day long, because him making threes is not going to get Jaren Jackson in foul trouble. And if Jaren Jackson plays more than what he played, 24 minutes, if he plays more than 24 minutes in this game, the Grizzlies probably win this game. Them allowing Karl Anthony Towns to get downhill, double teaming, when they drop off of their man, you got that wide open corner three, or you were getting a lot of fouls from people coming in to try and help him. You've got to stop that. If you don't stop that, you're going to lose this series. And it's the sky's not falling. The Grizzlies are still more than capable of beating this team. I go back last year, the Grizzlies won game one against the Jazz, and then the Jazz swept them from there. It's quite possible that this series goes into like the same way. It could happen the exact same way, but they've got to make changes. And I don't know that Taylor Jenkins is going to make those changes. I felt like we got past that this year. I felt like he made adjustments throughout the season, but then we get into this game one and he was so severely outcoached that it was just glaring.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you talked about that test series last year. John talked about that in the post game. He was saying how they were coming off the play-in game and Jazz had been sitting out for a while. And they came in there and took game one out in Salt Lake City, and how they went on to lose four straight. And that's how quickly a series could flip. And John talked about that in the post game tonight. But talk about Taylor Jenkins, and David and I were talking about this before we jumped on here. Just got out coached by Finch tonight, man. Some of the lineups. There late in the game. I mean, you start the fourth quarter, Ja wasn't on the floor. I kind of didn't really understand that. And I think anytime, I mean, this shouldn't happen anytime, but it definitely shouldn't happen in a playoff series when you're down in the fourth quarter. There should never be a point when Ja and Jaren are both off the floor. Like, that just shouldn't happen. And then when Ja comes back in, he's on the floor with Tyus. And we've talked about that lineup and the plus minus and how that's a negative. And you're doing it in the middle of a playoff game. Like, I just didn't get it. It just seems like you're experimenting with stuff, and this is not that time, man. You need to be past that now. And I don't know. I also think when guys have five fouls, I think he left Jared on the bench too long. I would have put it back in, just let guys foul out, man. I mean, it was rough, man. Yeah, just let him foul out, man. And you got to have him on the floor. If you're going to have a chance, especially if you're down in the fourth quarter, man, you got to have his defense on the floor, because he just makes such an impact on that end of the floor that it just changes the total dynamic of your team. And they needed that defense at times, man, and they had him on the bench. I just didn't understand it. And as David said, I thought he had matured past some of this stuff, and it's kind of rearing his ugly head right now. And they just need more from guys. I mean, DeAnthony Melton is a guy who we saw last year that he was struggling at the end of the season, and that continued into the playoffs. And even going back 2 years ago to the bubble, kind of did the same thing. I was hoping that hot shooting and the hot streak that he had been on prior to the playoffs, that it would continue, and it did not today. What was he? 0-3 from three.
0-3.
Yeah, you really need that 3-point shooting from him. I mean, that's going to be big. So
he wasn't even doing it on the defensive end.
Yeah. He was missing do nothing today. Say that, but he was a liability out there today, man. They just can't have that. You talk about this team, and somebody made a point today about maybe this team has regular season depth, but they don't have playoff depth. Like, a lot of these guys, again, man, they look good in the regular season, but it gets to the playoffs and they're just not doing it. But BC and Tyus still both played well today. I thought Zaire played well. He only had four points, but he was a plus six. I think only a couple guys. I think he's a plus six. Tyus was a net positive. You had BC was a plus two. And I think those are the only guys that were on the plus side of the plus minus.
If y'all don't give Slow-Mo his flowers, we're fighting. Next time I see you guys, Candace went through giving all the bench players their flowers, didn't talk about Slow-Mo. And
but you know Slow-Mo's my guy, though.
Listen, I want to see
Slow-Mo did a great job. But
I just expect it from him. That's what it is. It's just automatic. Right.
And two, I want to talk about the adjustments. I think that's the biggest key to this game. I mean, Jaren Jackson Jr. staying out of foul trouble, that's part of it. But I really want to talk about the coaching aspect, because I think that was really huge in this game. At the end of the day, I don't think we had the right lineups. I don't think we had the people in at the right situations. I think we just kind of went with what we normally do in the regular season, and that's not going to work in the playoffs. I really hope that Coach Jenkins can make some adjustments here. Steven Adams showed really early that he was not capable of guarding Carl Anthony Towns. That was very obvious, and I think that we should have made adjustments. It shouldn't have taken Steven Adams played 24 minutes. He shouldn't have gotten that many minutes. I think it was very obvious early. I'm really concerned about the in-game adjustments that are going to be needed in order for this team to win the series. I don't want us to stick to something because it was game plan when you first made the playbook, when you first came up with the game plan a while ago, and in game it's not working and you're going to stick with it. I don't think that's how playoff basketball works. And I really hope that Taylor Jenkins can learn that early so that we don't have to go through this catastrophe of just a wasted season, because I think that his in-game adjustments could be better. You asked the question about Dylan Brooks on D'Angelo Russell. I think it was very obvious, I'd say by the second quarter, that D'Angelo Russell just didn't have it this game. This wasn't his game. And I'm not sure it had anything to do with Dillon's defense, to be honest. Dillon's defense always has an impact, sure, but I just don't think it was D'Angelo Russell's night. And I know, right, I know he's hurt us in the past, and all four of his games, he shot, what, 38-plus? Against us. So I understand the initial game plan. I'm not knocking the initial game plan. What I knock is the in-game adjustments. When you see Anthony Edwards going absolutely off, I mean, just going off against our defense, make adjustments in game so that you can win the game. Don't wait till the game is over to decide to make another game plan and then have that not work. That's not how playoff basketball works. And I'm an advocate for Taylor Jenkins winning Coach of the Year. I hope that he can show us why he should be Coach of the Year here in this playoff series, because I was very disappointed in his coaching tonight.
That's great points. He did make an adjustment. He moved Brooks onto Edwards at one point in the game.
It was very late, though.
It was too late. It was too late at that
point. Very late.
And that's going to be crucial. Steven Adams coming out. He just couldn't hold on to the ball. Ryan on Twitter was talking about, you know, Steven needs to go wipe his hands off, because every time he would get a hand on the ball,
he would just go.
Yeah. And you have to be able, as a coach, to be like, listen, man, this is playoff basketball. I still have faith in you. I still trust you. But you do not have it tonight. Get on the bench. You cannot wait and watch your team get pummeled. When, you know, Kyle Anderson only played 20 minutes and he was plus one of the only three guys on the team that were a positive on the plus minus side of the ball tonight. And he done a much better job defensively than what Steven Adams was doing. Kyle Anderson should be your number one defender on Karl Anthony Towns. The starting lineup should change tomorrow. It should be Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, Dillon Brooks, Jaren Jackson, and Kyle Anderson. Kyle Anderson should start off guarding Karl Anthony Towns. Yeah. Love Steven Adams. Know what he brings to the team. But this is a terrible matchup. It's the playoffs. You have to change what you're doing. Yeah, to a certain extent, you want to play Grizzlies basketball. I get that. I understand that you're instilling confidence in these guys. You're giving them, you know, hey, I trust you out there. I know you don't want to break that, but this is not about it. If you want to go and win a championship, these guys have got to understand, and I know that they do. They're professionals. They've got to understand that adjustments need to be made. If Steven Adams – In the last matchup, Steven Adams played well against this team, but regular season versus playoffs is different. And I would love to see a huge adjustment from Taylor Jenkins heading into tomorrow. I'm sorry, Tuesday, not tomorrow. But I don't see it happening. We're going to see the same starting five. And if the Timberwolves come out, punch them in the mouth again, and Steven Adams still getting destroyed, I hope that we see Kyle Anderson get 28 minutes instead of Steven Adams getting 24. Another thing that you have to do in the playoffs, you have to do it in the playoffs. You've got to play your best players 40 minutes. Anthony Edwards played 40 minutes in this game. Karl Anthony Towns played 42 minutes in this game. You go to the Philly Raptors game, ended up being a blowout, but Siakam played 40. Fred VanVleet played 40. Tobias Harris was close to 40. Joel Embiid close to 40. Tyrese Maxey and James Harden 40 minutes. And you can go to the Jazz series, Jazz Mavericks. Bogdanovich played 40. Rudy Gobert played 36. Donovan Mitchell played 40. Reggie Bullock, which is not really, that's just like out of necessity because Luka wasn't there. But Bullock played 44. Finney Smith played 44. Jalen Brunson played 40. You have to play your best players more minutes in the playoffs. You can't stick to the same bullshit rotations. Can't do it.
Yeah, I think Jai and Desmond definitely set too much in this game. Because I'm asking the whole time, like, where is Jai? Like, you got to ride with your guys. I mean, in this situation, and especially, man, in a game that you're losing. Like, I just didn't understand what was going on, what was going through Taylor Jenkins' head. But there have to be adjustments made. The thing that worries me about the Steven Adams situation is, and again, I agree with David. I think when they come out Tuesday, we're going to have the same lineup. It's going to be Morant, Bain, Brooks, Tripp, and Steven Adams. I think that's what you're going to see. Doesn't make any sense, but the thing that worries me about it is the rebound. Now, Brandon Clark did a job helping off the bench. He had 12 rebounds. Kyle Anderson came in with 6, but if you're not playing him, you need to throw those rebounds. Even tonight, when he only had 3 rebounds, and the Grizzlies number one rebounding team in the NBA got out rebounded by 11 tonight. And that's something that you don't usually see. So without Adams, you're not getting those boards that you usually get. And I think that's where the problem's going to come in at. But, I mean, he just cannot guard Karl Anthony Towns. I mean, that's just – we saw that very early on. I mean, there was just too many times tonight where Karl Anthony Towns just take off to the basket. Just, I mean, there were a couple times untouched where he goes to the basket for a dunk and barely even touched on those plays. They got to make adjustments and come up with an answer for that. And Kyle Anderson definitely, out of everybody that defended him tonight, I think did the best job. And I think Jared being on the floor, if he's not in foul trouble, I think it's going to help there. But he has to stay out of foul trouble, like I said. I mean, that's pertinent for this team. You can't have those games like tonight. I mean, because you just see the impact. Even with him having five fouls and being in foul trouble, I mean, he still had seven blocks tonight. So imagine what he would have done if he had been able to play his normal amount of minutes. Only 24 minutes from Jaren. That's just not going to cut it in this series. You need him 35-plus minutes, just like you should have Ja and Bane out there for that many minutes. They're just, you're not going to win any games against Karl Anthony Towns and this team when you only got Jaren playing 24 minutes.
Yeah, and part of that was his foul trouble, but I still think coaching is a big factor at the end of the day. I would say that, I think Jaren Jackson, I'd like to see Jaren Jackson have his take at Karl Anthony Towns. That'd be a pretty big, I'd like to see how that worked out. But I agree, Kyle Anderson did the best job that night. And one thing I don't understand about the confidence that you're instilling in your players, it's not like Steven Adams is a long-term piece that you're trying to instill confidence in, like a Zaire Williams, even like a Desmond Bane, the guys that you want to say, hey, I'm instilling this confidence in you. I hope it's going to work out in the long run. Steven Adams is not one of those guys. He's got another contract on this year, but I believe next year is the end, is sort of, you know, next year he'll be an expiring contract, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So to sort of save his feelings, I don't understand that logic. If this was one of your younger guys, I would completely understand. But Steven Adams is a veteran. He's been through this. He understands the playoffs. So if there was going to be a player on this roster that you were going to bench and say, hey, listen, we have to make adjustments, Steven Adams would be the number one guy. I think that's what confuses me the most. And I think it concerns me in terms of mindset of Taylor Jenkins more than anything else, because I understand instilling confidence in your players, but you got to think about it in the big picture to some extent. Steven Adams isn't going to be long for this team, no matter what, at the end of the day. And so if he's a player that's sort of outmatched in this round, then he's got to sit. End of story. It really doesn't affect you long term in any sort of way. He's the guy you brought in because you could sit him and play Jaren Jackson at the five. And so to play Steven Adams over Jaren Jackson or any of your other options, Kyle Anderson, doesn't make any real logical sense to me. Even from a long-term standpoint, it doesn't make sense.
And as you said, Steven Adams is not a guy, I don't think he's a guy that's going to pout or be a malcontent. If you said him, like you said, he's a veteran guy. He understands I'm sure he knows he didn't play well tonight. I'm sure he understands that. And if it's a bad matchup, maybe next round you go against Golden State, so to speak. Maybe it's a better matchup for him.
Right.
But I don't think he's going to be – if you set him, I don't think he's a guy that's going to cause any problems in the locker room or anything like that. So I agree with you. It is kind of head-scratching that Taylor Jenkins seems to just kind of stick to what he does. And even when you see different things going on, he just doesn't want to adjust to them. Just kind of running these same rotations. When the playoffs start, man, playoff basketball is different than regular season basketball. You just can't do the same things you were doing in the regular season. It's just kind of – he seems to just kind of be trying to stick to those same things. Like with Jared in foul trouble, you can't sit him out. Like I don't even agree with it in the regular season, but definitely in a fourth quarter when you're losing a game, man, you just got to let him foul out. If you put him back in, he fouls out immediately. So be it. I mean, that's just what happens. But you need him in the game, and if, like I said, until he fouls out, man, you run him out there till the wheels fall off. I mean, that's what you have to do in these playoffs. As David said, man, you can't have Ja playing, what Ja playing, 30, 35 minutes. Desmond Bane, 33. You got to have these guys 38, 39, 40 minutes in the playoffs, because that's what Minnesota's going to do.
Yep. And I just like to throw out there, I saw in a pregame conference, that may have been a couple of days before, I don't remember the exact day, but he was asked about sort of this matchup when it comes to D'Angelo Russell and how he was going to guard him and Anthony Edwards. And his response was sort of, I'm paraphrasing, but his response was along the lines of, we're just going to play our game. We want to make sure that we don't beat ourselves.
And they did do
that. And that wasn't, in theory, it wasn't bad, but it really rubbed me the wrong way because it was sort of a red flag for me just initially. It's not anything I spoke about, but it rubbed me the wrong way because I'm wondering, are you specifically game planning and scheming the way you need to scheme for the team? This isn't in the playoffs. It's not just about, it's rarely just about playing your game. That's not how it works in the playoffs. In the playoffs, scheme oriented. It's very matchup oriented. It's very much so a chess match, not just checkers. And it concerned me that was his mindset going into this game, because I'm going, so that means you haven't schemed on how you're supposed to. Ultimately, yeah, he schemed on D'Angelo Russell, but D'Angelo Russell wasn't the problem. You really have to be prepared for multiple things. It's chess, not checkers. And I just, I hope that Taylor Jenkins can quickly catch up to what he needs to do in order for this team to be successful. Because like I said, if he's not going to play the guys the minutes, if he's not going to scheme the way it's necessary, I know he's capable, but if that mindset is just, we're going to play our game, then he's not going to do the things necessary or think of the things necessary in order to really make sure this team succeeds in the playoffs. And so I'd say that's my biggest concern over everything else. If we can get the coaching down right, if Taylor Jenkins can really embrace the playoff mindset and understand how it's different, we'll go far. But it really is going to take that, and we'll see what happens in game two. It'll tell us a lot. But I've been concerned since I heard those comments from him in the press conference that he did.
We talked about, you know, we've been talking about coaching here and adjustments and scheming. And look what Minnesota done to Ja Morant in this game. First half, Ja Morant, 6-for-10, 3 rebounds, 5 assists, 19 points. Ja Morant, second half, 2-for-8, 1 rebound, 3 assists. He got essentially neutralized. I know he got points at the free throw line in the second half, but this defense was able to knock him off of his game. One thing that drives me insane is I go back to Tillman when – That comment early in the year, and he talks about when Ja's out that they play harder.
Yeah.
And that just keeps churning in me. It's like when Ja's in the game, these guys don't move enough. And that's not, it's not a knock on Ja. And this is not, I swear to goodness, if any of you guys come at me on Twitter, are you saying the Grizzlies are better without Ja Morant? No, nope, hell no. That's not what I'm saying. Clean your ears out and listen. The guy, I think they do a lot of standing, a lot of ball watching, because Ja Morant is that guy. He's going to be that guy. He has been. They've got to move more. And the ball movement in the fourth quarter and the second half of this team was not great. Yes, Ja Morant is fantastic. But in a playoff series, if that's your plan, if it's, hey, 12, go get me a bucket, guess what? 12's going to have to beat 5 Minnesota Timberwolves all by his damn self. That's not going to work. You have to make those adjustments. I love Ja Morant. I'm not saying take the ball out of his hands. I'm not saying anything negative about Ja Morant. I'm saying that the Timberwolves done a great job scheming against him in the second half, took him out of his game, and that's what led to Minnesota winning this game.
I mean, you saw better ball movement when the bench was in, and I still think a lot of that has to do with that starting lineup not having a lot of time together. And as you said, when Ja's in the game, when these guys are out there, they're looking at when they have the ball, they're looking to find Ja. They're all looking to see where Ja is, trying to get the ball back to Ja, and they don't move as well. And you're right, in the playoffs, defenses, they're keying on what you do specifically well. I mean, because, and as I said before on here, when you're in the playoffs, you're not worried about any other team. You're about your single opponent. So the things that you do well, they're going to scheme to try to take those things away. So you have to have great ball movement and run great plays in order to get good shots. You're not going to get the same shots that you get in the regular season. And like you said, when Ja's in there, it's just a lot of ball watching. And you'll see guys get the ball, and they'll think about making a move, and they're like, no, I got to get it back to Ja. You can just see them thinking that. And when you have Minnesota, who has schemed their defense to kind of stop Ja, and you try to get him the ball every time, I think that bogs down your offense at times. And again, this is, you know, people go crazy going to say that we're saying that this team is better without Ja. Not that at all. That's definitely not it. Ja is a first MVP candidate, first all-team NBA selection this year, in my opinion. But I mean, again, the teammates have to do a better job. They got to move better. And again, you can't just look to Ja to bail you out all the time, because it's going to be tough for him to do that when the defense is scheming to stop him. I mean, he's going to get his points. You're not going to shut John out because even like you said, even though they were scheming against him, and I think had a great game plan on him, extremely physical on him, causing him all kind of problems, still had 32 points, 16 from the line and scored 16 points. But I think they did a good job against him. And again, you look at a guy that scored 32 points, this was not one of his better games. And again, I think guys have to move better. You have to get better shots. And a lot of times when Ja's in there, as you said, man, you just see a lot of ball watching and guys just trying to get the ball back to Ja. And that can't be the case all the time.
It's a mentality shift, I think, that needs to happen for the rest of this team. The determination to make cuts, to make movement, to make things difficult on the defense, no matter what Ja does. Just to piggyback off what Isaac was saying, I completely agree. I think it's really more than anything, I don't even know if it's scheming. It's a mentality that shifts when Ja's not on the court. But when he is on the court, it's that ball watching, and that's got to stop. And coaching is part of that, but also each team member has to make a decision that that's not what's best for the team. It's just not. Ja is better served by people making cuts and people making reads and trying to get open. That's how this team thrives. That's how this team has been successful. And it does go back to, like you said, the starting lineup hasn't had a lot of chemistry together to really figure those things out, to figure out what cuts work best, to figure out what movements work best. They don't have that chemistry, and that's a disadvantage going into this playoff series. But I think that the Timberwolves don't have a lot of experience themselves, it doesn't have to be a deal breaker for us, but our team needs to embrace a different mentality as a whole. Everybody but Ja needs to be determined to get open at all times. And if we attack the way we need to, then we'll win the series.
I saw some negative stuff towards Zaire, and I've got to point this out. He had the best defensive rating out of any Grizzly that played tonight. And he was the only guy that was a positive. I don't get the hate. Zaire didn't even play that many minutes. What did he play? 10 minutes? And the 10 minutes.
A little under 10, actually.
And the 10 minutes that he was on the floor, the Grizzlies were a plus six. And you talk about like defensive, single game defensive rating is kind of whack. It's a crazy stat and fluctuate a ton. But Zaire done a good job when he was out there, man. You know, he was running the floor. He was hustling. His length, I honestly wouldn't mind seeing him get a look at Anthony Edwards. I think that length could be an issue. I
totally agree.
If Zaire can go out there and lock in, I think that his size could be a problem. Because Anthony Edwards is big, 6'7", you know, a plus wingspan. He can attack downhill. Obviously, he can shoot the three. He can do a lot of things. And if you're not going to have Dylan Brooks guarding him, why not give Zaire a shot?
Yeah, I had a guy, speaking of that, I had a guy, I think I sent you that tweet, was talking about Taylor Jenkins, and I kind of agreed with some of his points, but then he was like, and it was terrible that he had Zaire Williams out there. And I'm like, did you watch the same game I am? You look at the plus minus, you talk about his defense, he has the highest plus minus on the team tonight at plus six. I think he should have played more. I don't understand why he only played 10 minutes, and I think I was saying the same thing that David just said during the game. Like, I would love to see him get a shot at Edwards. If you're not going to have Dylan Brooks as his primary defender, man, why not give Zaire Williams that chance? The length, I mean, he doesn't necessarily have the weight, but the length, I think, could be something that could possibly bother Anthony Edwards. And I would have liked to have seen him play more. But, again, I thought he played well, just didn't play much. And I didn't understand how anybody could look at this game and blame Zaire Williams for anything. I mean, he didn't hit a three, was 0 for 2 from three, but only played 10 minutes. And again, plus six, there's a reason why he had the highest plus minus on the team. And I think that's from what he did on the defensive end. I think that's kind of why you see that. And I didn't agree with that at all. I saw some of those takes on Twitter as well.
Based upon game one, the optimal matchups, at least against Minnesota's big three that I'd like to see, like you guys said, I'd like to see how Zaire would do against Anthony Edwards. I'd love to see how Jaren would do against Karl Anthony Towns. And Dylan on D'Angelo Russell was effective, don't get me wrong, because he has been a Grizz killer against us this year. And so that does make a big difference. So that would sort of neutralize or at least contain the big three. But what are you guys' thoughts on that? Is there a flaw in that logic? Is there anything that I could be missing when I think about that matchup? Because I'd like to see, if you're going to have Steven Adams in the game, I'd like to see him just sort of posted up against, I don't know, a Jared Vanderbilt or somebody who's just going to be in the paint anyway. I think that matching the defensive arrangements up that way, I think would probably be most effective for the Grizzlies. But what do you guys think?
I think Jaren is a far better help defender than he is a point of attack defender. And I'm not saying that to say that I don't think that he could guard Karl Anthony Towns. I would be interested to see it as well. But I like Jaren got those seven blocks because he's an elite help defender. And so having him match up specifically against Karl Anthony Towns, depending on who you're on the floor, like who's on the floor with him, if you've got Brandon Clark on the floor with him, I'm good with it because Brandon and Jaren play great off of each other. Right. And Brandon Clark is pretty close to that kind of level of a help defender. So that still gives you another help defender that's not tied up on a primary player. I think that Jaren would be fine. I think that would be a good matchup for them. I think it's going to be lineup dependent because I think if you got Steven Adams does not have the foot speed to be that type of a help defender. So, I mean, I feel like we're just beating the crap out of Steven Adams. He had a bad game. There's a good chance that we see Steven Adams come out in this next game and pull down 18 rebounds. And just,
I think that's what we're going to see.
On the offensive rebound.
I hope you're right. I don't know if that's what we're going to see, but I hope you're right.
I don't know about 18, but I think he's going to play. I think he's going to play much better on Tuesday than we saw tonight. I think it was rough. There's no doubt about it, but I feel like he's going to have better games in this series than he had tonight. Like tonight was just abysmal. Today, I don't even know what to say, just abysmal and just looked unplayable. I think he'll look a little bit better than that on Tuesday night. But as far as it's Jaren matching up with him, I don't know if you want that primarily because I think that will lead to Jaren picking up fouls, but I definitely think you throwing different bodies at him. I think you throw Jaren at him at times and throw Kyle Anderson at times. I think, as David said, with BC on the floor, I think you got to protect him a little bit. I think that would be a better matchup when they're on the floor together. But I think they're going to have to get something out of Steven Adams because, again, man, they need his rebounding, and that's what worries me because if you completely go away from him, which we know Taylor Jenkins, I don't think that's going to happen anyway. But if you're going to do that, I think you lose that rebounding and you kind of see them get beat up on the boards like they did tonight. And it's going to be hard because Minnesota's not even a good defensive rebounding team. They're actually really bad. And, I mean, you got beat up on the boards pretty bad today. So, I mean, that's something that can't happen. I mean, you're the number one rebounding team in the NBA. You got to find a way to rebound. Way too many offensive rebounds for Minnesota for second chance points. I mean, they're already making threes. And the thing about it is you look at this three-point discrepancy, it's eerily similar to what we saw in a lot of those games against the Jazz in the playoffs last year. I mean, you can't have this. I mean, Minnesota's plus 14 in attempts, plus 9 in makes. That's 27 points that you lost on the three-point line. And you look at that and you're thinking, okay, well, if they're beating you like that three-point line, surely you're killing them in the paint. And the Grizzlies did win in the paint 60-50, but that's not – they usually have a bigger discrepancy than that. That's only a 10-point difference. So Grizzlies, if you're not going to make threes, man, you got to do big work in the paint, and you give up 50 points in the paint as well. Man, they're beating you from both sides. They're beating you – they beat them inside and outside tonight and today, and that just can't happen.
Yeah, I think that the Grizzlies' inability to shoot the three is what allowed Minnesota – to scheme so hard against Ja Morant. If you watch the game and you saw it, Minnesota was collapsing a defender behind Ja. So when he would elevate, they were eliminating the passing lane. So he didn't have anywhere to kick it out to. But they were able to help that much. They were able to collapse so much on him because nobody can – well, I won't say nobody because my guy that Isaac was hating on was 3-for-4 from three. But basically nobody can knock down a three, and you have to shoot the ball better. Number of different things went wrong in this game, but Desmond Bane shooting better than 3-for-8 from three, Jaren Jackson doing better than 0-from-5, De'Anthony Melton doing better than 0-for-3. Like, those guys got to knock down shots so it opens up the floor for Ja Morant. If Jaren Jackson is knocking down threes, are they helping that much off of him? If Desmond Bane's not shooting 3-for-8, are they helping that much off of him? There's a lot of things that go into it, and the fact that they were 7-for-27 allowed that defense to collapse on Ja, and that's why his numbers were not what they should have been in the second half.
Yeah, I go back to that amazing behind the back, in between the legs pass that Ja was going to assist to Jaren, and Jaren just didn't make it. I mean, that would have been the assist of the year. That was the most creative a pass I think I've ever seen. And just and Jaren was wide open, and he looked like he was ready for it, but he just didn't make it. And it's things like that, that when you say that, that's exactly what my mind goes to. And it seems like that could have opened up the game for Ja. Yeah, I agree.
Hey, you go back to the three-point shooting. Like, on a normal basis, the Grizzlies are not going to match Minnesota in three-point shooting, but you can't go 7-27 and lose the three-point line by be -9 on the three-point line for 27 points. That's just, you're not going to win games. It's amazing that the Grizzlies only lost this game by 13 when they lost the three-point line by 27 points and then give up 50 points in the paint. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, that lets you know that if the Grizzlies, even if they had shot the ball just average and knocked down a couple free throws, they win this game and didn't play well in this game. And that's one thing that I take out of this game as a positive. I feel like I don't know if Minnesota can play any better than they played tonight. I mean, you score 130, and I've had some Minnesota fans on my Twitter feed saying, oh, well, we turned the ball over this many times. We did all this. We could have played better. I mean, they scored 130 points. Like, I mean, and they knocked down with 16 of 41 for 39% from three. Like, I don't feel like they're going to play better than that. And I feel like the Grizzlies didn't play well at all. And they were right in this game at times. I mean, they end up ballooning there at the end. They end up losing by 13. But, I mean, there were times where they had this game down to 4, down to 2, and they just couldn't quite get over the hump. And they knocked down a couple free throws, a few more free throws, and they probably won this game. Couple more threes. And I feel like as bad as they played and as well as Minnesota played, it feels like Minnesota should have won this game by 30. Honest, the fact that the Grizzlies were in this game, I think you take that as a positive. If you play a little bit better and clean some things up, I think you beat this team. I mean, I think that's something that they can take into Tuesday night as a positive.
I think I'm just kind of looking through things here. One thing, as far as adjustments for this team that we need to see them do, is Anthony Edwards was 1-for-7 going to the right. When he was on, if you cut the floor in half through the middle of the paint, anything on the right side, he was 1-for-7. He made 1-3 over there. He was killing us from the left side of the floor. Make that dude go to his right. And maybe he just had an off night from the right. Maybe, you know, this next game, you see that he goes, you know, 11-for-14 from the right-hand side. But when you see, like, I'm looking at the shot charts where he made shots compared to where he missed them, make him go right. And that's a lot easier said than done, because he's an elite player. And I think that throughout, you know, the play-in and in this game, he's starting to evolve. And it wouldn't surprise me to see Minnesota actually give this man the keys, because he's that level of player.
Hey, you got to make it. And it was just way too easy tonight for Anthony Edwards, for Carl Anthony Towns. You got to give these guys something to think about. I mean, once they got going downhill, I mean, you got Anthony Edwards just pretty much doing whatever he wanted tonight, just getting to his spots, just no resistance on jump shots, just stepping into threes, as we talked about earlier. And you're just not going to win against this team like that. I mean, this team can score. They shoot a lot of threes. They make a lot of threes. And if your defense is not up to the task, which it just wasn't today, I mean, they're going to beat you, and the same thing's going to happen on Tuesday night. You just can't – you got to be better. I mean, just all the way around, but especially defensively, there just wasn't enough resistance for Anthony Edwards and Carl Anthony Towns. And, again, I don't know exactly what the answers are, but they have to be better than they were tonight, or they're gonna lose this series. I mean, that's just point blank, period, man. They just have to be better against these guys. And you got an elite scorer like Anthony Edwards. I mean, you just can't let him walk into the jump shots. I mean, there were times where he just got to the free throw line, beat a 16-footer, just stepping into jump shots. Nobody's even touching it. And it's just, that can't happen. And again, I think that the dynamic of having Dylan on D'Angelo Russell, it's gonna be interesting to see if Taylor Jenkins adjusts there. Does he decide to have Dylan on Anthony Edwards' board? Because I think, and you look at the points, I mean, as Candace said earlier, I think D'Angelo Russell just had a bad game. But I think if you're going to look at those two guys and which one you pick your poison, I think Anthony Edwards is a guy that I would put my best defender on. I think that's how I would handle it. We'll see what happens going forward. But, again, man, it was just way too easy for those guys tonight. I think We want to see more Kyle Anderson on Karl Anthony Towns. We just can't have those clear drives to the basket like we saw tonight. So, again, man, adjustments have to be made. I mean, that's what playoff basketball is all about. Like I said, it's a chess match. And Taylor Jenkins, he's been stubborn at times. But, I mean, he's going to have to – if he wants to win this series, man, they can't come out and do the same thing they did tonight. I think they're going to be better on Tuesday night. Vegas definitely thinks they're going to be better because the Grizzlies are still a 7-point favorite for Tuesday night. So, they expect the Grizzlies to bounce back. So, hopefully they know what they're talking about.
Yeah, I think they do. I don't think that there's any way that the Grizzlies come out. You have to come out with more energy. They have to play more control. I think that they were playing – like, they had good energy to start the game, but they were maybe a little too ramped up. And
yeah.
They were
not – I was kind of worried about that.
Yeah. So, I don't want to keep beating it. It's a tough loss. You hate to see the Grizzlies lose game one at home. The Timberwolves just played a meaningful basketball game a couple days ago. The Grizzlies, it's been a while. And so now they know. Mike Tyson says everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Now you've been punched in the mouth. What are you going to do to respond? So I think we'll go ahead and wrap this one up unless you guys got anything else that you want to touch on before we get out of here.
No,
I was going to say to your point, I was kind of worried about that coming into this game. I had said throughout the week that usually if a road team's going to steal one, it's game one because that home team's coming out, their fans are fired up. You've been talking all week about big game one. You're coming out real amped up, and sometimes you come out and get punched in the mouth. I think we kind of saw that. I know it was no Donovan Mitchell last year, but you saw the Grizzlies go out to Salt Lake City and win that game one, and we saw what happened after that. So I kind of feared that, but I think the Grizzlies bounce back and get a win on Tuesday night and go out to Minnesota and see what happens. I'm still sticking with my prediction of Grizzlies in six. I'm not backing off of that. I think the Grizzlies win game two. I think you can see them go out and split in Minnesota, and I think Grizzlies win game five and win game six and close it out. I'm still sticking with that.
Yep.
Man.
I agree.
I said Grizz in five, and I mean that shit. Still saying it.
Hey, man.
With my whole chest.
I'm with you, man.
I think
sweet from here.
Yep, like that,
sweep,
this man. Is gonna wake them up, and they're gonna come out. And they're gonna play. They're gonna do what they need to do to.
Man, I hope so.
So, we'll wrap it up. You can get the show on Twitter at Ethos Grizzlies. I'm at DavidW2111. Candace will let you know where you can find her, and then Isaac will get us out of here.
Yep. You can find me on Twitter at Seahawks901. That C is in cat. Hawks901. Let's go out here and beat these Minnesota Wolves. Isaac?
Yeah, man. Got to sit on this one for a while, man. Got a couple of days off Tuesday night. It's weird because usually in the first round, I think it usually goes Saturday, Monday, Sunday, Tuesday. But weirdly, some teams are getting 2 days off between games and some only getting one. If I was one of those teams only getting 1 day off, I think I'd have some complaints with that. But Grizzlies, T-Wolves, luckily to get 2 days off, and I think that's time to get some rest. I heard some talk that Ja got an x-ray after the game. I'm not sure what the injury was. I wasn't in the post-game press conference. Did they say anything about that?
I wasn't able to make it, man. I didn't make the post-game press.
Yeah, because I just saw some people. I didn't make it either. I just saw some of the highlights from it. I saw some people talking about that on Twitter. He did get banged around a lot today, man. Took a lot of falls, but he seemed from the comments that I saw in the post-game, he didn't seem like he was injured or anything, so hopefully that's not anything going on there.
He's gonna play.
But yeah, oh, you know, he's gonna play.
If
he can walk, he's playing in the playoffs. There's no doubt about that. But you can find me on Twitter at Isaac_Rivals. It's ISAAC_Rivals. Again, the Grizzlies will be back for game two at FedEx Forum on Tuesday night. We'll be back for the post game for that, so be on the lookout. Hopefully, when we come back, we'll be talking about the time that we're going back to the show. So until next time, we go.
Those presentations.